Welcome to the Play in Faith podcast, where we dive into the world of sports through the lens of optimism, inspiration, and faith. We're on a mission to infuse youth sports culture with positivity and joy while building the largest network of college Christian athlete mentors in the world. Thanks for stopping by. Enjoy today's show.
All right, what's up, everybody? It is Coach Chris from the Play in Faith podcast. I am so excited. We have an unbelievable guest this evening. You guys are going to absolutely love her. We have Jocelyn Bricker from the Warsaw Tiger basketball team and soon to be Butler Bulldog, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, so Jocelyn, how's it going this evening?
It's going great. How are you?
Oh man, life is good. Well, thank you for carving out some time. So we always release these a few weeks after recording, but we are getting ready to head into Christmas break. So Jocelyn is in the midst of a fantastic basketball season. So I guess just real quick, just tell me a little bit about your season so far. How's everything going over at Warsaw? Obviously, you guys are playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's going really well. We've got a fun group and some great coaches. So I think we're sitting at like 10-1 right now, so having a good year and just hoping to continue that. But it's been a lot of fun. So
yeah, you guys are playing a really aggressive schedule too. So you got a big one tomorrow with Columbia City. You guys, I think you've already taken on like Valpo and Norwell.
Yep.
And like you guys are playing some of the top teams in the state, man. It's exciting.
We've got the Hall of Fame Classic coming up on the 22nd, which we're excited about, playing some good teams there. And yeah, it's been fun. So,
and I swear I saw on Facebook, are you guys playing down in the Hoosiers gym over Christmas?
We are,
too?
Yes, we are. Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about, because we're going to try to release that before this game hits. So tell me a little bit about, and I probably should have asked your coach, like how he hooked this up. This is amazing. So tell us a little about what's going on there.
Yeah, so we're playing Fairfield at the like historical Hoosier gym where the movie was filmed, which is so cool because like growing up in Indiana, like just a huge Hoosiers fan, like my parents played that theme song in their wedding, like I've just like grown up in it. So I visited there, but like I've never like thought I would have the opportunity to play there. So yeah, just really excited. It'll be a super fun experience for us and for our community, so.
Oh, I get it. I think I'm the same age bubble as your mom and pop. So,
yeah.
So that would be like the soundtrack to my youth as well. So I'm very jealous. I wish I had some eligibility left. I want to go down and hoop with you guys. Yeah, that sounds incredible.
Yeah.
So obviously you grew up in a, you know, you mentioned your parents are playing the theme song in their wedding from Hoosiers. So you grew up in a basketball family. Your brother's playing, I believe he's a freshman at Grace, right?
He's playing
ball at Grace. He's a fantastic high school and college basketball player as well. So this is something that's in your blood. So I would have to imagine you're kind of living your dream right now, right?
I am. I always, like, just from a young age, have always looked up to the players, boys and girls side at Warsaw. So just being able to actually be here and live out like what I've dreamed about since I was younger. And obviously last year, like playing in the state championship, like that was just an unbelievable experience. So yeah, I really am just living the dream, living it all like what I've dreamed about. My dad's on our coaching staff this year, so having that experience with him is so cool. So yeah.
Oh, that's really neat. We talk a lot about that on Playing Faith, because just the overlap of, you know, talented athletes whose parents coach them at the youth ranks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of it is probably nature versus nurture, right? I mean, if your kid's a standout athlete, decent chance mom and dad played a sport at some point. So it all kind of lines up. But so how's it going playing for dad? This is his first year on the staff with you since you've been in high school, correct?
Yes, it is. And so he was on. He coached me when I was younger,
sure.
And then he coached my brother on the boys' side at Warsaw these past few years. And then my senior year, he decided to join our staff, and it's been really great. I love he's pretty hard on me. He is, but it's I love having him on the staff, and it's just a way for us to be able to spend more time together too. And it's just fun to have him along like our journey, and we have such a talented team. So it's just been a lot of fun. So.
Yeah, it's such an interesting dynamic where we joked around as a family where this fall between like my fifth grade squad and my eighth grade squad, and then my little one plays like OPS Elite. Like literally, we went through a 2-month stretch where we were 7 days a week. One had practice and then OPS on Saturday, club one on Sunday. And people are like, are you burnt out? And I was like, you know, there's a few days where we're maybe tired. But it is quality family time
For
together.
sure.
Like, I mean, I'm with my daughters. They're doing something they love. I'm doing something I love. We form close relationships. But it can be difficult sometimes
Yes.
when dad is the coach to turn it off. So
Exactly.
this one's wildly personal, but I'm just curious. So during practice, what do you call your dad?
I call him dad.
Do you?
I
Okay.
call him dad. I do. Yeah. I don't think I've ever really called him coach. I think he's always just been dad. But it is an interesting dynamic, like going from practice, like maybe he was things got a little heated or like we didn't have a great practice, and like it is just a different dynamic where you it's hard to almost like compartmentalize like our relationship, like player coach, and then also just like father daughter at home. So that's been something that's we're kind of learning through, but it's been going well, but it's just different. But yeah.
Nice. We may have to get Pops on here. So I've talked
Right.
to I think a lot of people who are going to hear this have probably already listened to Coach Krebs's episode, and I would imagine Caitlin's a generation beyond you. She would have been out of school before you
Yes.
got to. I think you
Yes.
just missed by a
It's the
year.
year before.
Yeah,
Yes.
that's what I figured. But Caitlin's
Yeah.
been on here too, and we've had like some really cool conversations. And I think we're going to try to do a combo episode with them very soon, where
Oh,
we
yeah.
talk about navigating that dynamic. And I joke with them, so maybe I'm the weirdo. My Peyton, who you're going to meet later tonight, will not call me dad inside the gym. So the second we pull into the parking lot, she's like, "Hey, coach, hey, coach," and it's the most hilarious. It's cute. I mean, I like it, but she's standing on business. We're in the gym,
Yeah.
and I'm not dad. And then as soon as we get back in the car, then it is dad again for the most
Oh,
part.
yeah.
But sometimes when she asks for like a game breakdown, I make sure I ask, is he talking to dad or coach? Because the answer is going to be a little different, right?
For sure, for
A
sure. Oh,
little
I love it.
different. So I think
Yeah.
that's really like special that your family is such a part of this. And obviously they, played ball, they're familiar with the sport, they're involved in your career. And I imagine that's like a tremendous blessing as you're going through some of the recruiting process. So
Sure.
kind of led you down the path of like living your dream, but like one of those huge goals that I imagine you set as a young kid, we've already checked the box. So
Yeah.
you are signed, sealed, and delivered. So
Yes.
you are headed to Butler in the fall. First things first, right? We've got a lot of basketball to play here at Warsaw first. But so tell me a little bit, walk me through a little bit about that recruiting process, kind of when you made your final decision, and just some of the some of the things that led to getting to that point, because obviously it's a lot of attention you've had.
Yeah, so being recruited is so interesting because it's something that you really hopefully only do once. And so it's so cool to be able to meet different people and learn about different programs and to just like feel wanted. That's just like a really cool feeling. And just to know that like your hard work and what you've done has paid off and is being recognized. So yeah, I made my decision this past summer in like think it was June 18th or something like that when I committed.
Seems pretty specific for, I
Yes.
think. Big day. That's
Yes. And
a big day.
yes, it was. And yeah, just feeling so grateful. And honestly, the whole recruiting process, like my parents were just so grounded. And they really instilled in me and helped me focus on the things that really mattered. Because it is easy to get caught up in like the fluff and like getting this coach is attend like there's so many little different things that go into it, and I think that my parents just were able to stay so grounded and really helped me through it. So it was a very fun process, stressful at times, but just trying to enjoy it and trusting in God's plan, and ultimately it led me right to where I really was excited to be and where I needed to be. So
Yeah, I think it's the Hoosiers theme, right? You're going to go play in the
I
Hoosiers
think,
gym, and then you're going to
yeah,
play in
exactly.
Hinkle. So
I
you
mean,
just you're living the movie.
exactly, yes.
So obviously, like you're being recruited at a little different level, right? We've talked to a lot of athletes on this program, coaches, athletic directors. I'm so blessed with just the unbelievable people that are willing to sit down and talk with us and share their story. One of your fellow alum, Kyle Angus, right,
Yeah.
obviously went through a very similar process. We've talked to Kyle. Congratulations on the call up, my man. We're so psyched. So psyched. So
Yeah.
psyched. Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm so it's he called a shot on this. He's like, my dream is someday they say NBA player, but regardless if it ever happens, and then bam, So we've talked to people at all different levels, right? And for a lot of folks that are even Kyle, like who are playing at more of an NAIA or D2 level coming out of high school, there's a little bit more marketing or a little bit more proactive nature for the recruiting process. You're sending things out, you're making contacts, you're saying, please come talk to me. You're getting recruited at a D1 level. So I imagine some of that was more inbound than outbound. So at what age did that start? Like, when did you start, like, okay, people are calling mom and dad, or I'm getting letters in the mailbox, or like, whoa, this is getting real. So when did that kind of flip?
For me, that all started after my freshman year. So playing AAU that summer, that's kind of when my recruitment started picking up. And I think that's when I got my first offer like that summer going into my sophomore year. But honestly, like in this age, especially for girls, I feel like girls are getting recruited a lot earlier, at least
Wild.
now. So I honestly felt a little bit like behind almost in my recruitment, which is kind of crazy to say, but I didn't start even playing AAU or going to any like showcases or anything like that until like after my eighth grade year. So I honestly did feel a little bit behind. And like my dad, we had talked about just like he wanted to develop me and like help me grow like super sound like fundamentally before I did all that stuff. And I think that did help me and it all worked out. But in that moment, like growing through that and seeing what other people like getting recruited, getting like ranked, which that means really nothing. But still, like when you're young, like you're like, oh, so we talked a lot about like it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like trust God's plan, like keep your head down, like do the work, and like it'll all end up exactly how it's supposed to be. And so yeah, just feeling very blessed. In hindsight, like looking back, it's just crazy, like all those little pieces, and then just being where I am is just really cool. So
I kind of like that plan. I've talked to a lot of coaches about just the pressure that's coming younger and younger and younger, right? Like, we had a tough back and forth with our fifth grader. Like, is she ready to go play OPS Elite? Should we wait another couple years? I like her being in the gym. I like her playing with a couple grades up. I like developing her fundamentally rather than just AAU. We're gonna jack threes from our shin bones in some of these 10U games, right? But I think it's a really good reminder for the parents out there that are feeling that pressure. Like, look, you are gonna be playing in the Big East next year. Didn't play any of this travel ball until you were like basically in high school. Look, if you are skilled and talented, it's going to pop and people are going to find you. So I'm going to embarrass you. Not that I'm a college scout, but we saw you guys play early in your freshman year. School that I'm connected to was playing you guys. It wasn't a real close ball game. We gave it a run, and we're just watching warm-ups. And I think I'm sitting next to my daughters who are super young at the time and just still want to sit next to dad and listen to me chatter annoyingly about basketball. And I think we are 4 minutes into warm-ups. I was like, watch that one. And I didn't know you or your family at the time. I was like, watch that one. I was like, oh my God, she looks like a baby. I was like, because you did. I mean, when you were like 14 years old, you looked like it. You still have a baby face. You look like a baby. You look so little. And I was like, watch that one. And because in warm-ups, like, oh my gosh. And then didn't start that game because it was very early in your freshman year. And I was like, and people were looking at me like, oh, I thought you were Mr. Know Everything Scout. And I was like, I still think I'm right. I think I'm right. And I think and I'm pretty sure you came in and dropped 18 on us in the second half. I was like, I told you. So anyway, like, but my point is just when someone has these tremendous fundamentals and skills, people are going to find you. It's going to pop and it's all going to come into place. And you don't have to spend $50,000 traveling when you're 11
For sure.
to get where you're going, right?
For
So
sure. Yeah.
anyway, so your career is obviously unfolding in fantastic fashion. Like, Warsaw is playing incredible. You guys had a heck of a run last year, but it didn't end exactly the way you would have wanted. So had this discussion with Lenny, your coach. It's so weird to call him. But I guess you wouldn't call him Lenny. With Coach Krebs. So we had this conversation, and I want to see if you remember this the same way. He said, game ends. Walks in the locker room, and the first thing he said was, "You just lost the biggest game of your lives." Like, whoa. And he goes, "But it doesn't change your value and your identity." So, how do you recall the moment and the emotions of that moment. What is it like to get to that point and then not have the dream ending that you were looking for?
Yeah. Well, what Coach Krebs said in that locker room is something that I will never forget. And because what he said has been something, honestly, that I have dealt with and kind of struggled with all throughout, like growing up and playing, especially I feel like when I got into high school. And yeah, losing the biggest game of your life. And I mean, we went in there like confident, like my dreams were all like you just unfolding like right before me, like you're gonna. And so that was hearing him say that really just put into perspective so much for me. And again, like that's just something that I had struggled with. And I feel like it's so easy to fall into the trap of like as an athlete or whatever like you're passionate about, like that is. It's so easy to forget that that's something that you do, but that's not who you are. And Coach Krebs has done like an incredible job of throughout my 4 years, like he has told us that he's like told, like reminded us like our value does not change based on your performance or winning or losing a game. So just an unbelievable thing that he said in that locker room was just put so much into perspective for all of us. So.
Yeah, but you still want to win. So,
Exactly.
how does that shape your outlook now, right? I mean, look, you've checked a lot of the boxes. Like for a lot of athletes, it's I want to be a college athlete, but that's a personal thing. You've got a lot of unfinished team business. So, how does that shape the way your team approaches the next 2 months as you gear up for the tournament?
Well, I mean, I definitely think that loss has left a little, we have a little chip on our shoulder. We have things to prove. And even like our loss earlier this season, like we have things to prove. And so, like you said, I mean, like while obviously your worth and your identity doesn't come from your performance or wins and losses, but like as a competitor, like of course, like winning matters. And so we're playing with a chip on our shoulder and yeah, we're striving to be our best every day in practice and showing up to games. And yeah, we still got goals to chase, so.
Yeah. See, I love it. I think there's that fine line where I'll have people tell me with youth sports that, well, we're just focused on developing our players and winning isn't important. And I always ask, why do those two have to be mutually exclusive? Can't we develop our players and strive to win? Now, we don't do anything unethical in the process. We don't diminish our value and we fall short, but there's something beautiful about sports that teaches us to compete, hey, hence the shirt, to compete, to strive, and to really set some of those goals. I think that's maybe the I always say that athletics is a it's a great dress rehearsal for life, and
For
that's
sure.
going to serve us really well. So as a leader, right now you're a senior. In the past, despite some of your personal accomplishments, you played with some fantastic basketball players, right? Like one of your teammates is off playing at, I believe, it's Ball State. Yep. Yeah. So I mean, it was an all state performer. So, as a junior, you got to be a leader and a fantastic basketball player. Now you're a senior. Brooke has moved on. So, how do you and a couple of your other senior leader teammates, of course, how do you personally keep the team focused on? We have this big goal, but we have a ball game tomorrow too. Like, so how do you really help your teammates walk that fine line?
For sure. I mean, I think it just honestly comes down to for us, like me, Brooke, and especially like Alexis Neely, like I feel like we're our team's like big leaders. And so a big thing for us is just leading by example, like competing in every drill, every practice, every play in our games. And so I think that is setting an example for our younger players. And a lot of them were on the journey with us, but like weren't like playing like really valuable like minutes on like our varsity team. And so like it is different for them and like holding them accountable and getting them to understand like these are the things that it takes to get where we want to go and like to achieve our goals. Like these are the little things that matter. And so yeah, just that accountability piece. And like while we are focused on like that big goal, of course, like the game in front of us is what matters most. I mean, getting
Yeah.
there. And honestly, like last year, like it means nothing for us this year. Like it gives us something to chase, but like it doesn't carry over, if that makes sense. Like
No,
you
it's a new
start the
season.
season 0-0, so it's like, yeah, that it doesn't carry over. So just like holding each other accountable, focusing on the details, and just leading by example. I think those are big things. So.
So I love it. I love what you said about leading with example, where I'm competing, not every game, every drill, every practice, because that is what translates into the game. So for a lot of our audience, I know we have a lot of parents, a lot of coaches, but hopefully we're reaching a lot of young athletes, middle school, late elementary. That's what our mentoring program does. We take these late elementary, middle school, early high school kids, pair them with college athletes to help walk that walk. I think one of the things that's very difficult for young athletes is they know they want to be leaders. They know they're supposed to hold each other accountable. How? Right? It's very difficult to lead your peers sometimes when you're still growing and figuring it all out. So, how do you hold your teammates accountable? And is it different for some of the teammates? Is there different ways that we're holding each other accountable?
Ultimately, I think that to be able to hold someone accountable, you have to have that foundation of trust and love with them, for them to be able to receive it, and also for you to be comfortable and saying, like, I love you so much that I'm going to hold you like to this standard, and I want what's best for you. I want what's best for us. So I think that having that foundation ultimately is the most important, just having that trust. And also I've had to learn this because my personality isn't necessarily like you need to do like I feel like I'm more like try to be encouraging, but as like the leader, I've found that I have to get on people. I have to set like the expectation, and not in a negative way, but it still needs to happen as a leader. So I've had to learn a lot about the difference between being liked and being respected. And I think that it's a fine line to walk, but I think it is better to be respected than to be liked. So just being able to, hold people accountable in a way that's not obviously bringing them down, but lifting them up, encouraging them, like setting that example as a leader, I think is super important. So.
Man, that's so difficult. And frankly, it's incredible to have that kind of wisdom at where you are in life
Thank you.
as a senior in high school. And I'm sure you've already learned it. An unfortunate, sad reality in our world is that people that are achieving at an exceptionally high level are going to have more negativity, even when it is unwarranted. If you were just average and mediocre, you could just bounce through the halls and be happy, lovable Jocelyn. But no. With when we are high achievers, sometimes like those expectations raise. So I think that's really cool that you've been able to learn that lesson, and obviously you're doing a fantastic job leading
Thank
your
you.
team, leading your school, leading your community. You're obviously very involved in your community as well. So you're not just an athlete and a student. Kind of how I knew you or knew of you or my family got to know you is that you're really involved with some of these youth basketball camps and giving back. And you started doing that at a very young age. I believe you were my daughter's counselor when you were in ninth grade. So you were like a kid at a college camp. All the other counselors are college students, and here you are 14, 15 years old. So how did you get involved and decide that you really wanted to spend your time giving back to young athletes?
So my dad has a little like sports ministry program called Rise Athletic Development. So I've kind of grown up he's ran camps for like our community and different kids in our community. So I've always kind of grown up in that, and as I've gotten older, like have been like a camp like volunteer or coach at those things. So I've always kind of been involved in that. But like as I started playing high school basketball and just the communities like started to like show their support and like come to our games and stuff, like we have the sweetest like fans and like all these little girls, like they just look up to us so much, and like
They do.
just amazing families, like bringing us gifts, like making us little bracelets, signs, like those kind of things. And just I know how much it means to them just for us to show our support for them and get to know them, because they matter so much, and they're honestly just of course like the future of our community, of our program. So just being able to form relationships with them, I have loved, and just being able to be like a role model for them has been so cool, and just getting to know them all. So
Yeah, well, you're doing a fantastic job. So I know I have told you this story, and I shared it with your coach several years ago before I even really knew Lenny, like on a personal level. But so I'm gonna say it on the air just to embarrass you. So yeah, obviously, so you coached my oldest daughter. 3 years ago at a summer camp. You had her for 3 days. At that point, she hadn't even grown yet. Now she's 5'8" point guard in eighth grade. Can play a little bit, but I mean, she was like 5'2" or maybe 5 foot. She wasn't particularly good. She was an okay fifth grader, right? So we come to a Warsaw game, and this is like last year. So you haven't seen her in like 2 years. We're just walking through the bleachers, and all of a sudden we hear like, "Hey, Kendall," and turn around, and there you are, and you guys just chatted for like 30 seconds. And I don't want to embarrass her, but it just made such a massive impression. She was just blown away that like, how does she even know my name or know who I am? She doesn't even go to the same school that you do. And what's funny is I've told a couple people that story, and you know what? I have heard that same story from other people about
Oh.
their kid and about their daughter. So it's just a reminder to me as we focus our mission, why we're doing this is you don't have to be LeBron James or Steph Curry to have a massive impact on some young athletes. So that isn't even a question. That's just a compliment. Thank you to
Thank
embarrass you.
you.
And when your
Thank
parents listen to this, they'll be
you.
like, oh. So, but no, it's just really cool that you're willing to give back and do a lot of those things. So, all right, so I'm going to put you on the hot seat. I'll give you a couple more questions, and then we do
Yeah.
try to keep it to a half hour. So if this one's too personal, you can defer. So when I
Okay.
talked with your coach, one of the things I love that Coach Krebs is doing is that he shared on air that he has you all write letters to him, basically, or to yourselves when you're young, coming up through the program, asking you, what do you want me to say about you at your senior banquet? So without sharing the entire letter, when you wrap up your career at Warsaw, when you wrap up your 4 years at Butler, and who knows how much longer we get to watch you play basketball, I got a feeling it might even be beyond that. What do you want people to say about Jocelyn Bricker?
Man, I want people to say that, I just want to be remembered as someone who just treated people really well, competed as hard as I could, and ultimately did everything that I could to reflect Christ and do it all for his glory. I think that's so important, and I just want to be remembered as someone who was a competitor and gave it all on the court, but ultimately was just like an even better person and gave back to people and just treated people really well. So
That's fantastic. I think you would blush if you heard what people said about you behind your back.
Oh,
You
thank you.
definitely have made that impression on so many young athletes, and then that translates to their parents and their schools. So
Thank
you're
you.
doing an absolutely fantastic job. So one like final question for you, and then we are going to hit pause. We've got bonus content coming. My 10-year-old, who I have embarrassed on this air many, many times, is going to come give you a second interview. She's got some questions for you. But so we can have this in the main episode for all the little girls out there dreaming of playing basketball at a high level at an amazing program like Warsaw, or competing for state titles, or getting a college scholarship. What advice would you have for someone in that late elementary, maybe more middle school range, that's starting to take it a little more serious? They don't just want to make the team and have fun with their friends. They want to achieve some of the things you have. What would you tell them?
I think I might have said this a little bit earlier on, but I would say like something so important is just to remember like it's a marathon, not a sprint. Like you'll see other people maybe like getting the recognition or achieving these things maybe before you, but ultimately, if you just keep your head down, like put in the work. The work does work, and eventually you'll start to see the results of what you've been working for. And I think that as an athlete, it can be hard. Like you work out every day, like you're working hard, doing the right things, and like you don't always see the results right away. But it is true, like if you continue to do the little things right and keep your head down, focus on those things, keep working hard, like it really does end up making a difference, and ultimately you'll end up where you want it to be if you do the right things and yeah, just keep working hard is what I would say.
I love it. Well, you're absolutely living proof. I know you've worked incredibly hard. You're achieving amazing things. You're closing in on the Warsaw all-time scoring record. No pressure. Just all these accomplishments stacking up. But just I think what's more impressive, and I think I speak for tons and tons of people in the community, is just the manner in which you're doing it, the way you're giving back to the youth, the way you represent our town and our community. So just wanted to say thank you so much for sharing some of your time and just your wisdom and poise with us today. There are so many little girls out there dreaming of being where you are. And I think as a parent, I can say, man, if they end up as half as talented or half as amazing of a person, then we've done a pretty good job parenting. So
Thank you.
thank you so much, Jocelyn. We are absolutely going to be praying for you and the Warsaw Tigers to have a nice deep run as far as you guys can take it. And just absolute blessing to get to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
All right. Good luck this season, and we'll absolutely be praying for you. Thank you, Jocelyn.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to the Playing Faith podcast. If you love what you heard, please take a moment to rate our show and share it with your friends and fellow athletes. Together, we can spread the joy and positivity that youth sports deserves. And be sure to visit PlanFaith.com for more fantastic resources. We're on a mission to build a vibrant community of Christian athlete mentors that are not just a voice your athlete will listen to, but one they should. Until next time, keep playing in faith.